What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to the greatest outdoor radio show in the state, Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Have we got an exciting episode today? We are coming to you from the island of Dugie Otok. Where is that? Might you say that's in the nation of Croatia. I talk to you folks all the time about getting outside of the box, getting excited, and don't do the same thing over and over. If you're a hunter, if you're a fisherman, if you're a world explorer, if you like kayaking, mountain biking, mountain climbing, get out of your comfort zone. We landed in Croatia to one of the most beautiful set sceneries I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it looks like the Amalfi Coast, kind of a blend of old Italy, Roman culture. The food's fantastic, Mediterranean delights from the sea. Just had a fantastic lunch here. And guess what? We're actually going hunting. Marco is going to take us hunting this afternoon on the island in Croatia of Dugie Otok. If you're here and you're enjoying it for the boating and the beautiful Mediterranean Sea, you might not have any idea that just a few miles away, you can get out there and hunt some of the most coveted species in the world. Mouflon sheep, wild goats, Dalmatian sheep. It's called the Dalmatian Coast. Marco, tell us what we're going to be in for. What are we looking for? And how do you expect today's hunt to unfold? We're literally looking at the Adriatic Sea 1 minute, and a few minutes later, we're going to be in the mountains looking for wild animals that we can take home and put on the dinner table. That's unbelievable.
Yes, it is, yeah. I mean, the plan of these a few days of the hunting trip here, I will be really pleased to give you some hunting experience at this pure pearl Croatian island. We will hunt non-stop with a view on the sea. I hope the weather forecast for these few days is going to be really nice weather. And we will hunt mouflon, European mouflon. We will hunt Dalmatian sheep. That is like a species who is here more than 300 years. It's a wild animal, wild Dalmatian sheep. And we have pretty, pretty good rams, you will see.
Oh, I'm excited about it. And if you didn't catch it when he said it, we're going to have a view of the ocean, of the sea, everywhere we're hunting. If you've never experienced what it's like to hunt on a high point and see the ocean around you, you are missing out. This is going to be such an exciting experience. Roger Jorgensen of World Trophy Adventures, you helped me set this up. And I have to tell you, I cannot believe how easy and how good at this you are. You literally call Roger and say, I don't know, I'm thinking about Croatia. How many people ever think, I'm going to go hunting and I'm going to make it Croatia? I don't think even a lot of people know there is hunting in Croatia.
It's certainly a hidden gem of the hunting world. So more and more people over the recent years have come to Croatia for not only the coast, Dugie Otok, where we're here today, also for the mountains, brown bear hunting, red stag hunting. It really has it all, and very close and very affordable as well, what people don't realize.
What you just said, think about that, folks. If you want a brown bear hunt, you're thinking of Kodiak Island in Alaska. You're thinking of the far reaches of Canada. They literally have brown bears on Dugie Otok Island.
Nope.
No, it's a different island.
No,
on the mainland. On the mainland of Croatia.
Short ferry right away, yeah.
That's crazy to think about, hunt a brown bear in Europe. You know, look, I'm old enough to remember the war between the Croats and the Serbs. And I don't think people at this stage of the game, the average person in the United States, perceives that Croatia is this beautifully set European country with this melting pot of people from all over the world. It's got this Roman influence, this Czech influence, this almost Russian influence in certain places, and certainly an Italian influence, the Roman architecture. We were at a church the other day that started 300 AD. That's before the Bible was put together. Think of the cultural influence you can have in a country like this. And then folks, if you're an outdoors person like I am, which you know I am, and there's nothing more exciting than taking something from the field to the table, to be able to just travel somewhere within only a couple of hours from where you're sitting on the beach and pursue an animal and harvest it in a completely different environment than the little cities, towns, and villages here, which have this old country charm, and to be able to put it on the dinner table at night. Does it get better than that, Roger?
No, not really. I mean, in Europe, this is very a unique place to be able to do all these different hunting so close to all the different cultural elements. I mean, we've got our spouses here today and on the trip with us, and it won't interfere one bit with our plan out in the woods. So it's a pretty cool place, and it's certainly on the ascendancy as in terms of a worldwide hunting destination.
You just hit on something I want to talk about, and I do talk about this quite a bit on the show. Women age 18 to 35 are the fastest growing group of new hunters in the country. And so whether your spouse, whether the woman in the family is the hunter, or the man is the hunter, or the man's curious about hunting and the woman wants to take him, or vice versa, these are the kind of trips that really get somebody to experience something outside of their comfort zone while maintaining the comfort and relaxation of an authentic vacation. We're set nestled on the edge of the Adriatic Sea on an island in Croatia, which looks like the Amalfi Coast, if I'm going to be honest. We're in a building that was built probably hundreds of years ago. This is steeped in history. The rich lunch we had was caught from the sea right around where we're staying. You know, my wife, not a big hunter, but loves to eat wild game. She's sitting by the pool in a swimsuit, soaking up the Tuscan-like sun, and we're getting ready to go hunting this afternoon for a few hours. We're going to do some podcasts, some radio shows. This couldn't be more of a perfect way to introduce somebody to the hunting world, because you literally have everything here that will allow for the comforts of home and the comforts of an easy vacation while still making that wife or that husband, that hunter, happy. And I think that is something that if you key in on at World Trophy Adventures, that you will really have a niche that not too many people fill. People have not figured out yet exactly how to take the family and do a hunting vacation while it's not just hunting or it's not just a vacation. And that's the beauty of it. You know, The Church of St. Anastasia in Old Zadar, started construction on it in 300 BC. And I went through, and it's got bell towers in there that were built in 900 BC. You are seeing the dawn of Christianity with your own eyes, touching it with your bare hands within days of hiking in a mountain, taking a shot at a mouflon or Dalmatian sheep, and possibly putting it on the table. You want to talk about an all-encompassing vacation for absolutely everybody? This is the way to do it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And all for the everything you just described there, you'll probably get away with doing it less than going out west on an elk hunt and potentially getting skunked.
No question. People say, why do you travel to Europe to hunt? And I say so often, it's far more reasonable than if I tried to apply for an elk tag in Colorado and actually get it, and then an outfitter who helps me know what I'm doing out there. And then you get the experience of a lifetime in Europe. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the best hunting I ever do is in the state of Wisconsin. We've got some of the best wild turkey hunting. The largest whitetail in the country are in the state of Wisconsin. The turkey hunting, the small game hunting, the bird hunting. We kill more Canada geese there per capita than anywhere else in the country. It's phenomenal. But if you want to spend your dollars wisely, take a European hunting trip. Get in touch with somebody like Roger and give that chance to your family to experience a completely different culture. And I'm going to tell you something else weird. All right. I love languages. I love linguistic nature of cultures. But almost everybody here, whether they're from Germany or Italy or France or Sweden, they speak to each other in English. So it is very comfortable to be here. Our guide, Marco, he speaks fantastic English, and one of the first things he talked about, he's like, well, we're going to go shoot the guns, he said, to make sure the guns work right. And I know that's really code for to see if these dumb Americans can shoot right, can shoot straight.
Yeah, let's say. The truth is, yeah, that is like my obligation, because I really like that clients can see the gun, can feel the gun, can, because it's very important for me that in any moment, you know how it is in hunt. It's sometimes the seconds, but you need to know the gun. You need to know where's the safety. You need to know how to load it, unload it, the scope, left, right, and magnification, everything, your turrets. I will be here also next to you, but I just want that you try to make a few shots to be sure. You know, it's much more, you need to feel yourself comfortable with the gun. And then that is also one part from the end of the successful hunt. So it's, I think it's very also important for me.
Well, and a big part of that, which Marco is not talking about specifically, but I know they're cognizant of, and we talk about it a lot of times on the show, you want to make the most ethical shot you can. We are not interested in injuring animals. We are interested in a swift kill. This is an animal that has lived its whole life free, and at some point it is going to be killed for the benefit of human beings to be put on the table and to be harvested and eaten. And you know what? I wanted to do this part of the show before we left camp for the hunt. And to call this camp is really kind of a stretch. It's a beautiful rock building with air conditioning and fantastic pool and palm trees. You just wouldn't believe the beauty of it. But I wanted to do this before we left on the hunt, because we're going to talk to these folks again. And I've got my dear friend George Ermert with me, who's never gone on a destination hunt before. George, are you pretty excited about this?
I am,
he says. Usually, you're not usually a man of few words, George.
No, this is definitely a bucket list trip for me. I wasn't sure what to expect. So, I mean, this is all brand new, very exciting. But I think the coolest thing is, you know, as Roger and Marco have said, you know, these experiences are not, you know, looking back, I just like, I'll never go on a European hunt. No, you can do this, and people can do this. It's very reasonable to do these things. So I think it's important for people to realize that, you know, for hunters out there, it's great to go out every fall and, you know, harvest a white-tailed deer and get up in the bow stand, but there is so much more to do out there, and something like this is doable for people, and you should do it.
And in addition to that, I have to say this has exceeded my expectations already. You know, and hunting is hunting. Otherwise, they would call it grocery shopping, right? So you never know exactly what to expect. You try to put the best shot on something if you get that opportunity. We may be shooting up to 200 to 300 meters. That's like 400 yards. That's a long shot. So I think it's good that we're taking our time to make sure that everybody's comfortable with their rifles. And guys, you got to stay tuned, because in our next few segments of the show, Raised in Wisco on your civic media station throughout the great state of Wisconsin, you're going to hear how the hunt goes down. Stay with us from Croatia. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's back in the studio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco, the greatest outdoor radio show in the state of Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman holding down the fort while we're gone. Wow, what an exciting first segment of the show. We talked about being in Croatia and hunting Dalmatian sheep on the Dalmatian coast. And I tried to explain to you, you cannot put into words or even see on two-dimensional pictures the beauty of this land. You are on the cliffs of Dover, overlooking the most beautiful blue sea. And among the mountains out here, there are Dalmatian sheep, Mouflon sheep, Axis deer, hybrid ibex, pure Cri-Cri ibex, which can only be found in very, very few parts of the world. We talked about our guide, Marco Kovacovic, and our first segment was before we hunted. So now we have hunted. And I want to talk to Marco about what happened, how the first day developed, because George Ermert, who's along with us, you know him from the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. He's been on the show before. He's just a very dear friend of mine. We're here with George and his wife, Jenny Toffness. My wife, Becky's along on this trip. And it was really one of the first times that George has kind of been on a destination hunt. So, George, I want you to talk to me about what it was like at the beginning when you first were kind of in the car. We start driving up these roads that are literally as wide as the car. I'm looking over the edge. I'm having a panic attack. George puts his hand on my shoulder and says, Joel, it's going to be all right. Marco is an experienced driver in the Hilux, and there's nothing to worry about. And we're looking for a sheep for you. We're looking for a Dalmatian sheep. What's going through your mind at that point?
You know, it was exciting, but it's also, you're nervous because you've never done anything like this and you don't know what to expect. So I was very, very nervous.
Well, you didn't seem nervous. And something I have to explain is, when you're in a completely different culture, when you're overseas, you're in Europe, it overstimulates the senses just being there, just meeting the people, just learning the culture, seeing the beauty around you, the way the homes were built back, you know, hundreds, a thousand years ago, so much older than anywhere in the United States. So trying to process that is difficult to begin with. Then when you add a hunt to it and the pressure of squeezing the trigger on something, you want to make a good ethical kill, it can be this overwhelming feeling of adrenaline mixed with slight fear, nervousness, a bit of anxiety, but overall it's this exciting high that I think is unrivaled anywhere else.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it is a rush, it is a high. But I think that the coolest thing for me was that this was the first time I've done it. I didn't know what to expect. But once you start doing it, it's doable. It's not scary. It's very fun. And you can do it. You don't need to be a professional hunter to do something like this.
Absolutely. Well said. I think that's a great point. And I think a lot of that really hinges on how comfortable you feel. We get to the place we're staying. There's a pool in the back. The rooms are beautiful and clean. And you feel comfortable being at your home base. I think that's really important if you're going to set up a trip like this. And the people are friendly. Then trust in your outfitter, trust in your booking agent, trust in your guide. And folks, I'm here to tell you, if you're sitting in your living room in a carnival walk, that does not have to be the rest of your life. Take a chance. Make a stand. Say, I'm going to try something different, and don't be afraid of it, because it will not only expand your life experiences, it'll be something you will never forget. And the stories, they get funnier and stranger as time goes on, because memories start to fade and you start telling the stories. And that's really what's so fantastic about it. Now, I want to get to the actual hunt. Marco, we meet Marco, and Marco's a little quiet at the beginning. I'm going to be honest. He's kind of quiet. I'm sure he's assessing the Americans. I'm sure that's what... Is that what's going on, Marco?
No, it's not true.
Not true, he says.
I mean, I've been quiet. I'm not a really good talker, actually.
But. Oh, I think your English is fantastic, and I've had some of these great conversations with you the last few days. But what are you thinking when you get hunters who come in? You've got George, you've got me, different levels of experience in the hunting world. What are you aiming to do? What standpoint are you starting from when we started out for our first hunt?
Yes, at first we test the gun. That is something what is for me very important, so I can see how much experience you have with the weapons, what we can do, what I need to know some things to make a good plan, to make a good hunting plan, where to go, how to go. I know mostly the area. I know where the animals are. Let's say I'm not 100%, you cannot be sure. Because the weather is changing nonstop, but something like that. Make a good hunting plan, relaxable, go to hunt. And
okay, all right. And I want to point out one of the things that I really appreciate as a hunter is your care for safety. You want to make sure people are comfortable with the firearms. You want to make sure that they understand when they may or may not load a bullet into the chamber and that thing. Those are things that are very important, and I think that's kind of a universal important thing in order to have comfort among hunters. So we're heading out there, and you're thinking to yourself, what do you think of us? What do you think of George and me when we first get in the car? I mean, you have
people of all different cloths coming into hunting, especially. And we want that. We're trying to grow hunting numbers because numbers in hunting equal conservation and proliferation of the species. So what'd you think of us when we got here?
I mean, I'm not thinking about who is which type of the person. For me, I mean, the first impression was that you're really nice people. You came to the vacation. My plan is to make for you really nice hunt together with vacation, nothing under the pressure. You know, we will try to find really nice trophies so you can go home very happy, I mean, and satisfied with everything. That is the plan. It's always trying to make something what we can make. I will do all the best what I can to do to give you the good trophy, to give you the nice hunting pleasure. So that is, for me, very important. I mean, I'm not the guy who will judge you like a person.
And I have to tell you, I felt so comfortable with Marco because some of these roads you're driving on, I'm convinced only goats and sheep are supposed to be on these roads. One side of you is rock walls. The other side is a cliff straight down. And with my traveler passenger anxiety, it takes a lot to even get in a car sometimes. But Marco was very careful about that. We got to hit a break already. Guys, when we come back, we're going to actually talk about that first hunt with George, how it unfolded, what we're looking for, and the fact that one of the great things about hunting Croatia, especially the island of Dugiatuk, is that you can be out looking and see this Kri-Kri ibex around a corner, not expecting it, and have some beautiful, amazing species that you'd never thought of. And guess what? You can add that to your hunt if you want to. You're listening to Raised in Wisco, the greatest outdoor radio show in the state of Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clavish, Danielle Fairman. We'll see you in Wisconsin coming up this week. Up next, segment 3. We're going to keep talking to Marco and George. We might even bring Roger into this. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco from Croatia, the island of Dugiatuk. We have been talking with Marco, who was our guide out there today. And George Ermert, you know, he was kind of the first guy up on the gun because he's not been on a destination hunt before. And so what's our tack while we're out there, Marco? What are we looking for? What are we trying to find? You know, you have met George earlier in the day and you're thinking, I want to put something in front of him that's, you know, probably not the most difficult shot, and that's a lot tougher. I mean, seeing these animals is one thing, but getting close to them is a completely separate thing.
I mean, yeah, that was the plan. That afternoon when we start to hunt, it was quite a lot. The temperature was very high. It was hot, but the plan was to try to make something to see shootable animal on a normal distance, like 100, 150 meters, not more than that. So that's why I plan to go to that road, because over there we have two feeding places where we saw a major Dalmatian, what we can shoot.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the Dalmatian sheep, and they're called Dalmatian sheep because they're on the Dalmatian coast, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they're beautiful, and they range in different colors. They've got beautiful horns. And how did it unfold from your perspective, George?
Pretty terribly.
What?
Well,
terribly?
Not terribly.
It was quintessentially perfect.
It was quintessential, but I will be honest. I was not feeling as the utmost confident person based upon sort of my earlier performance. And, you know, I was like, oh, man, am I going to be able to do this? You know, test firing the gun, doing terrible, not hitting my target. I was very nervous, and my confidence was not very high. But luckily, I was with good people, and we had a great guide with us who does pump you up and makes you feel confident, puts you in a position to make you feel confident when you're offered that. So I don't know if hunts unfold like this often, but literally driving down the road.
And when we say road, we're really talking about gravel, fire road, path, a path.
Yeah, a gravel path. And we turn a corner, and there was a beautiful Dalmatian sheep sitting, eating in our path. At 50 yards, 75 yards from us.
I would call that the perfect opportunity at your first big game animal in another country.
You would not turn down an opportunity like that in whitetail by any means. It was fantastic. So we were in a great place, was able to get out of the car very quietly. And luckily, you know, the sheep didn't see me.
I want to point out that one of the reasons the sheep didn't see us is because we were silhouetted. We were in the sun. We were in the view. The sun was facing us, and the sheep couldn't see because of the sun, couldn't see our direction as well because of the sun. I think had the sun been on the other side, I'm not sure you would have ever gotten a shot.
No way. There's no way. But it's like any hunting. It's timing and luck. I mean, are you in the right place at the right time?
Timing, circumstance, and skill all meet.
It was great. So we had this great opportunity. Was able to get the rifle up and put on a nice shot. And, I mean, it went 10 feet from where I shot it. We did not have a hard recovery. It was
fantastic.
It was great.
And I have to tell you, as somebody who takes a fairly new hunter, or somebody who's a little less experienced in hunting, to me, one of the greatest things about the outdoors, and we talk about this in Wisconsin with turkey hunting or deer hunting for the first time, when you're with somebody, whether you barely know them or whether they're a dear friend of you, watching them go through the gamut of emotions that start from the moment you get in the car or the moment you start that stalk or the moment you sit in that blind up to the fruition of taking the shot and harvesting that animal is just as fascinating to watch as an observer as it is to be as the hunter. I'm convinced, and you know, maybe Marco, you can talk to this a little bit as well, and might bring Roger in on this. When you take somebody, it's almost more satisfying to me to watch somebody else complete this than it is to pull the trigger yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Especially I'm doing this for a long time, like a professional hunter, and for me the successful hunt, when I see the client that he's happy, and I'm more happy than he is maybe, but you don't know that, but I'm really happy with when you have a successful hunt, when the client is like under pressure. Sometimes I'm also under pressure.
Of course.
Adrenaline, you can feel everything, you can hear the heartbeats also, you know. And that's something what I really like to do, that because of these things I like to do this job.
Yeah, and we're going to get to my very difficult recovery of the mouflon sheep that I shot. It was a tough shot. It was stressful, I mean, which is also part of hunting. But I'm really glad it unfolded the way it did for George. And I have to tell you, I was standing right next to him when he shot. And being, someone who's taken George in the past, I'm cognizant of get the safety on right away. And I had him hand me the gun, and his hands were shaking as if he was awaiting deliberations of his own murder accusation trial. I mean,
my adrenaline was high, no doubt.
And there, I explain this to people who've not hunted, and they don't understand. I don't think until you go through it that you can understand. when it culminates in the gravity of taking a life, let's be honest, there's a very grave thing to do. You're taking the life of another animal for the purposes of harvesting it, putting it on the table, field to table, provider style. And you are the one to make that ultimate decision. And when it comes to fruition, the rush of literal adrenaline in your mind, heart, and body at that moment is a high unlike any other. And I saw it in George's eyes, and he turned to me, and we hugged each other, and I just saw this overwhelming joy, satisfaction, and happiness, because it takes a lot of gumption to put it all together. But when it comes to fruition, folks, that's why radio shows like this one are so important. That's why those who spread the word about hunting, harvesting, and proliferating conservation is so important. So to be able to share that with you on the Civic Media Network throughout the state of Wisconsin is an honor. It's a privilege. And to be able to travel to hunt, to be able to eat the animal that we harvested, which I'm really excited to talk about. Look, I tell everybody this show at the end of the day is a cooking show, right? We like to talk about cuisine on this show quite a bit. And I'm going to tell, I want to go into break here. I want to talk to Marco about his perception of eating wild mutton. So now, a lamb is lamb chops, right? That's a young lamb, a young sheep. As the sheep ages, it's called mutton. And that's a dish that not many people are real fond of, especially wild mutton. Marco, tell me about your perception of wild mutton before today.
Oh, I really don't like that meat. I tried it. honestly, I tried it before, but in Croatia, nobody knows how to prepare it. Or I don't know. So my opinion about that meat was bleh. But after today,
and he's been hunting them for decades.
Yes, of course.
My opinion is bleh. Is that a Croatian?
Yeah,
word?
Really. It's not a Croatian Kaput. Word, but that is really something what I really don't want to put in my mouth. But after today, when you prepare this meal, I couldn't believe that I'm eating the Dalmatian sheep, like an adult, so very old Dalmatian sheep. That smell, that's the meat with a hard smell. But I don't know, what did you do? How did you prepare that? But it was really, really delicious.
Well, in the last segment of the show, we're going to talk about how we prepared it, because this is a secret that anybody can use with any wild game, any venison of any type, any duck, any goose, any upland, food source. You can turn it into something that can be delicious on the table. I want to talk to Roger. Roger helped organize this trip. He lives in Austria, Roger Jorgensen, and he made the drive down with his family to spend time with ours. We had kind of gotten to know each other. We had an internet bromance, I would say, before the hunt.
Oh, just relax, buddy.
You'll learn his sense of humor very quickly. It's kind of like this melded Austrian-Alaskan humor. He's from Alaska originally, lives in Austria now, helped us put this trip together. And this got to be fun for you, but there's always a stress involved with being somebody who's the booking agent working for the outfitter. There's always got to be a stress to it. So we get here, we get out with George, and George puts the smack down on his first animal, and we're celebrating the first night. What's that like for you as somebody who helped put it together?
Well, it's terribly, terribly enjoyable. So definitely worth the drive. It's what got me into this industry, and what keeps me there to this day is, you know, sharing those first time experiences with folks, whether it is their first time or they've been doing this for years type of thing. It's always very fun. And like you said, with Marco being there, being involved, having the pressure and the excitement. I do appreciate not having the pressure.
Right, I bet.
I'm very easy to bust people's chops, so...
What? No, you, what? No.
Can you imagine?
He brought along every scintilla of Anchorage sarcasm in his tote bag from Austria, and he is was busting our chops, which also is part of hunting camp.
It's, oh, yeah. It was a and little... as not a sniper myself, it's always pretty fun to bust people's chops about...
Yeah, except I felt like I was in a college baseball locker room a little bit, though.
I was proud of you.
And so George gets on the board. That's got to be kind of a relief for you at that point. You know, hey,
we got one on the board. Now we move to the next hunt.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was very nice, and it couldn't have worked out. Couldn't have worked out better for everybody, and to get back to the house that afternoon, head to dinner, and to share the story with the ladies and stuff was, yeah, it's why we do it, and it's what keeps us coming back.
Before we go to the break, real quickly, I think a lot of people perceive that a European hunt is unreasonably expensive or it's outside of their price range. And I want to say, realistically, many places in the United States, that's why Wisconsin is such a gift. You can hunt so many species in Wisconsin for such reasonable prices with so much access to land, public land, private lands. It's a real treat. But to travel in the United States, depending upon where you're going, to hunt an elk or a moose, you're going to spend three times as much as you are to go to Europe, have the experience of a lifetime, the cultural experience of a lifetime. And that's why I almost liken, you know, we have so many, we're founded by Germans, Italians, Austrians, Mexicans in Wisconsin. We've got such a cultural melting pot and so many European influences. It's kind of like a miniature Europe, really, Wisconsin is, with its availability, the largest whitetail in the world. But if you want to have experience in Europe, it's not an unreasonable price.
No, not at all. There's a lot over here. A lot of people don't realize it. The airfare over here is very reasonable. The taxidermy quality is excellent. The getting it back to the States is very reasonable. And the fact that you could bring your wife usually means that you can pull the trigger a little bit more than just headed out to deer camp or going out west for elk.
That is really one of the very most enjoyable parts of this. I was able to come with my wife on my birthday. She's got a pool to relax at, sunny days of 80 degrees, bluest water I've ever seen, mountains to look at, sights to see, history, artifacts, architecture. Unbelievable. We only got one segment left. That's how quick this show goes. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I had one of the hunts of my life out here. I've wanted a mouflon sheep for a very long time. Marco and I were scanning the horizon, and sure as heck, we saw just a beautiful bronze to silver-ish mouflon. What that means is the horns are big. And the shot was about 400 yards. And I was solid on the bags, put the shot on it. Marco recorded it. So we saw where the bullet hit the animal. And all of a sudden, the bullet, the animal did not stop, drop, and roll, as we used to learn if catching fire. Now, I've never caught fire in my life, but I remember that from being a kid. And so as the animal took off, Marco, what's going through your mind? Because a big part of hunting is not perfect. You do the very best you can to put an ethical kill on anything, but pursuit of an animal after a shot is an incredibly important aspect of it, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. I mean, we saw that animal was in the group. That was the thing what I was thinking nonstop about, because that group is dragging the animal to move and move and move further and further. And my plan was to try to make like an exception somewhere when I think that they will pass. Of course, I saw after the hit, I saw the bullet, I saw the blood on the animals. I was hoping that the animal will stop somewhere in the bushes, where it's, of course, you know, the wounded animal always go somewhere very safe. And that was the thing what I was thinking about the nonstop. And I told you, we need to leave her. Leave that animal alone for a minimum 2 hours, so we'll find him 100%.
And when you shoot an animal out here, so at 400 yards, you're going to have a little bullet movement based on wind, based on gravity conditions that are different in different altitudes. And you put the best shot on it that you can. You're always trying to put the best shot on it that you can. We saw in the video that it solidly hit the animal. We saw blood on the animal. We knew that animal is going to expire. So it becomes our hunter's obligations. And this is something, you know, you've heard us talk about on the show. Hunting is not going out there and shooting at stuff. Hunting is understanding the importance and the integrity of the entire act. Enjoying, understanding your surroundings, the ecology where you are, but also understanding your obligation to pursue that animal once you have taken a shot on it or once you have wounded an animal. You need to do everything you can to put it in the bag. And we did recover that. It was a tough recovery. Fortunately, Malutin and Marco did 99.7% of that recovery. And I want to paint this picture for you. In Croatia, these mountains are made, they're all limestone deposits from the glaciers, not all that dissimilar to the kettles and moraines in the southeast Wisconsin area and out to La Crosse. But these are jagged limestone rocks on these mountains. It's like walking on a razor's edge very often. So you can't just run to get to something. You can't move quickly on an animal because this isn't just running across a turf field. This is the real deal. And they were able to recover that animal. You know, George's animal that he killed was 10 yards from where he shot it. And I have to say, right now, I'm struggling. Today's my birthday, and they've made a phenomenal job out of making me feel very special here today in Croatia on my birthday. But I shot a Dalmatian sheep tonight as the sun was waning, and it limped up over the crest of a mountain. So we made the decision to call it for the night. You know, that's a real tough decision for a hunter to make, because you want that animal in hand. But there are stinger situations where you sting the spine and there's no real damage. We won't know until tomorrow. So I think one of the toughest things about hunting is being okay with understanding that you need to have patience many times after the shot. The hunt and the anticipation lead up to the shot, and after that, reasonability is very difficult because you want to get after that animal. How important is it to wait and make sure you've given that animal time to expire versus chasing the animal, putting it through more stress, and pushing it?
And yeah, you are really right. It is really, really important that you need to leave the animal. Doesn't matter if you see the head is good and you are 100% sure that the head is good, still wait to 15 minutes minimum, and then you will go down to see what's happened. If you see that the after the shot animal didn't drop dead in the next 50 or 100 meters, that means that the bullet is 100% not through the lungs or somewhere in the front, you know, main vital organs or something. So it is very important to leave the animal minimum 2-3 hours. Like this, what you had situations this night with this Dalmatian sheep. Across, over that hill, and there are big stones, it's a lot of bushes. If you come close to the animal, and probably the animal will be somewhere in the hole, behind the bush, hide. So you cannot see far away. And you will just spook the animal, disturb it, and then if they start to run the second time, they will run who knows how far. No,
that is not. Yeah, and you're adding more stress to the animal instead of allowing it to expire peacefully. We have a minute left, and I'm going to... Do I want something to eat? Oh, I'm getting to that. My wife is in here in the studio with us and in the outdoor studio in Dugia Talk. Yeah, we're getting to that. We have a minute left. And I want to tell you on a future show, I'm going to tell you how the recovery went. Hopefully we have great news to bring you that we recovered this animal that was shot tonight. But I want to end the radio show, Raised in Wisco, with the food. Marco had said he'd never really eaten, didn't like mutton from Dalmatian sheep. And we made it tonight. We made a blush sauce with Ivar and cream, essentially. And we stewed the meat until it was shredded and delicious with onions and seasonings in it. So what was your take on what you thought about eating wild sheep before today, and what is your take now?
Yeah, now, I mean, the opinion is completely different. So to eat that meat today, I know it's a sheep. I know it's sheep, but as the, in the case that I don't know, I really, you cannot recognize that the meat is from the sheep. No chance. You made it so good, it's really nice.
I got to end the show on that. But what I'm trying to prove by that point is that you can take anything out of the field, and if you give it a little tender, loving care and some time in a crock pot or on a stove, you're going to end up with something that's going to turn out delicious. And you can be the provider. Bring it from field to table. Thank you to Croatia. Thank you to our hosts, Mike and Lisa. Thank you to Roger Jorgensen. And thank you to Marco for a phenomenal time. Becky, George Ermert, Jenny Toffness, my friends on this trip. We're going to say doviženja to Croatia. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time on Raised in Wisco.